It has been an issue at a number of the stations.
For 3 months.
It is an issue. So it's fine for people to say it's not going to be an issue, but it has been one. A. B, the proposal is that we would mandate to the stations that there be at least 2 hours a week. It doesn't say it has to be 2 hours at all at once. It doesn't say what time of day. It doesn't say how the programs will be developed. That's the proposal. It's that it be at least 2 hours a week.
Point of information.
And I have a friendly
point of
amendment.
Information.
I guess the point of information comes first and then the amendment.
Can we also require that they increase coverage of the governance? Now, if we are dictating in terms of how many hours, can we also dictate in terms of the amount of coverage, increased coverage for a governance?
You mean in news?
In news?
No, I don't think we're
all right. I'm not sure. I think that's a.
I just need my information. Information.
It could be
explained.
The 2 hours could include the news.
Okay, so
Janice wants to put an amendment.
Okay, I want to go on record as saying I think we're really sliding down a very, very scary slope here in doing this.
Second,
but I just want to say a minimum of 1 hour.
Wait 1 second. Folks over here, Patty, Eva, Verna, Bernie, Joyce, could all of you just take it in the back? Right? Could you all just move it on out so people can hear what Janice's point is?
Okay. As I said, I want to go on record as thinking that this is not what we should be doing as a board. However, since it looks like it's going to happen, my amendment is the minimum ought to be 1 hour. That's my amendment.
Okay. To the maker of the motion is a friendly amendment.
No, we'll have to vote on that separately.
Right.
I'll stand by two.
No, but that's a substitute.
No, right. Is she willing to substitute that amendment? She's not. So we will vote on this first.
Does
we vote on whether it's 1 hour.
Second.
Isn't it? I'm sorry.
Does
you're
it
right.
Have a second?
Wait 1 second. Let me just ask for it. Has anybody seconded? Would somebody second that? Okay, James. We don't have two motions. We just so we're clear. This is actually something I know about. I actually know what I'm doing here, folks. Right? There was a proposal, a recommendation, a proposal put forth. And a substitution part of that was put forth. The maker of the original motion did not accept it. Therefore, we vote on the substitution language first. If it is passed, that gets integrated into the body of the motion.
Right.
If not, it doesn't, and we move to the main motion and vote on it. And we do that anyway. Okay, so
parliamentarian.
No, that parliamentarian is right
that's,
here.
That's
I'm right.
She's right.
Okay, so.
Check the chair.
Thank you.
Madam,
so,
Madam
the
Chair.
Substitute language is 1 hour that this board would make. Excuse me, folks. The calling out doesn't help. It just doesn't. The substitute motion, the substitute language is 1 hour as opposed to two. I don't think we need any more debate on this.
Right.
Okay, we're calling the question. All those in favor of 1 hour, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Okay, and all those opposed to substituting 1 hour as in language in this. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
Eight to four?
Yes,
all
eight
right,
to
that's
four.
Two-thirds majority.
So that is defeated. So now we go to the main motion. The proposal was that this board mandate that there be a minimum of 2 hours a week on each of the five stations on governance and bylaws issues until further action by this board. Right? That's the language of the motion. Okay, I don't think we need any more debates. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two, you're counting. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Nine.
Nine, and all opposed to that. One, two, three.
Robinson. Who was opposed? Robinson.
Rob, Janice, and James.
Bryant
and James. Okay, so we have done that. Now what do we need to do? And it's 5 after 1. Thank you.
And you are listening to KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF Fresno, KPFK Los Angeles, WBAI in New York.
And clearly there are differences on this board about that. might I suggest, I might get crucified, but might I suggest that we do what we can to move this process along in as thorough and quick, yeah, that we try and get it on moving in a rapid way, but in a open way, you know, a way that doesn't exclude anybody, that is a thorough process, and that we reevaluate. And I don't have, I'm sorry, I don't have a specific date at which point to reevaluate this, whether or not we need to extend it. In other words, my own feeling is that if we could get enough in shape, if we can, you know, come to some resolution around the nature of these bylaws in time for the September meeting, then we should try and do that. But if we find over the coming months that we can't, that we simply don't have agreement, that there are big problems still that need more discussion, that at that point we extend it. Let me just say one other thing, that I, some of the concern that I know I've heard from people is not so much an extension of the time to settle the bylaws, but extending the time to actually have the elections for the local boards and for the national board. And that part of the concern in that grows from the fact that we are still grappling with thinking through and developing anew our programming in order to really make sure that by the time we actually are casting votes, that the listenership of Pacifica knows what they're listening to, right? That that there's a correlation between the mission and the programming and the listenership and the voting process. So I think that that is generating some of the concern about extending the time, that some programming changes still need to happen and some more outreach needs to happen. So if we could separate these, we might be able to, you know, finish the bylaws in 3 months and then still decide that we want to extend the election by a few months or whatever it is. But what I'm suggesting right now is that we not make a firm decision about that, because we need to see how quickly we can move along in the bylaws process and simultaneously in this revisiting, you know, reexamination of the programming. And maybe, you know, we've seen in some places that some programming changes can happen quickly. That obviously it takes a lot more time to build an audience, but, you know, thinking through the programming could also get on a little faster track.
Take a look at Houston.
Right, look at Houston. Look, you look at it. So that's my proposal. I know it doesn't really conclude this. It's not clarity that at a certain date we're either going to be done or we're going to extend it. It leaves it a little open. But I think that's maybe where we are right now, that we need the draft bylaws, whether it's the Washington draft or some modification from someplace else. You know, we need that to circulate, and we need to have the committees and the process, you know, deepen at the local level. And I think everybody has agreed, too, that we really need to figure out how to get the staff, the paid staff and the non-paid programmers, engaged more in this, too. Whether we have to have special meetings for them, or we can encourage them to come to the meetings, whatever it is, they need to get more engaged in this process also, as well as us. Yeah, we have to convince the listeners that the staff counts and the staff that the listeners count. There's a lot of convincing that has to go on, you know, back and forth here. That's what this process is all about.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
sir. A point of clarification. Are there any legal ramifications that we are under in terms of the settlement that would either preclude us from moving along the model that you've just outlined or not?
Well, my understanding, Carol,
we signed an agreement that said that the local board elections would be completed within 1 year after the first meeting of this board. The first meeting of this board was December 29th. So we signed an agreement committing to have the local boards elected by December 29th of this year, and the agreement specifies that the national board will be elected 3 months later. That's March, the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
We also gave ourselves some wiggle room. The wiggle room was we could ask the court for an extension. We can't just say, oh, we're extending. We can ask the court for an extension if we can demonstrate to the court that we are close to reaching agreement. It was anticipated that getting three of the five labs and the two-thirds of the national board to agree might be difficult. So the idea was, if we can demonstrate that we are close to reaching an agreement that would ratify the bylaws, we could, the court would give us an extension. I don't know if the court would give us an extension to get our station programming up to the level that we want, which is why I think many people feel an urgency about making programming changes, and that's why when people come and tell us about it, they're thinking about it, and it's important.
Dave, you want to speak to that point on the settlement agreement? Can we have the floor mic? The floor mic, please.
Hello?
The
settlement doesn't specify any conditions on the granting of that extension. It says it can be applied for. It would be my presumption that if each of the parties involved in the settlement, namely each group of litigants, agree amongst themselves, then the judge is going to sign off on it. If there's disagreement, the judge is probably going to look at the way things are going. But I think the main point is what Carol says. There's got to be a clear process in place that we are moving towards, not just that, well, we want more time, but we have something specific that we're going to do, and there is clear movement towards a conclusion that's acceptable. But I think if each of the groups of the litigants are in agreement, I don't think the judge would ever decline to agree.
Yeah, he's right about that.
Sorry. This is Jabari. I just want to read the exact language out of the settlement agreement. This is under the term of interim board. An application may be made to the court to extend the term of the interim board by two-thirds of the interim board, a balanced majority of the interim board, that is, with at least one person from each of the three groups that designated interim board members, or a majority of three of the five LABs, on the ground that there is a reasonable probability that an extension is necessary to complete the revision and adoption of bylaws and the holding of elections. So you have those two major things, the bylaws, adoptions, and revision, and the elections. So either one of those is a valid basis to ask for an extension under this agreement.
Okay, so I think what I get out of this is, again, that we need to keep this process moving. We need to see the work on the bylaws move ahead in the most expedient way possible without being, without undermining the thoroughness of it. To seek the possibility to try and get to the conclusion of the bylaws by September, if possible. There is then the question of the election schedule. There is, I think, an understanding that we are on a timeline set out by the settlement agreement, that there is room there, though, to change that timeline should we agree that it needs to be changed. Right? I think that's the parameters that we're talking about now. So maybe we can conclude this part of the meeting. Okay, now, I have just a little bit of a problem here. I have about 20-something people who have signed up to talk. I'm assuming that you're going to let us take a break now. Right? Is that okay? I know that means some of you didn't get to talk, but we're going to take a break. It's now just about a quarter after one. If we could take a 15-minute break and reconvene. I don't know if there's any food outside today, so it's just really a break.
And this is Jim Bennett, Interim General Manager of KPFA, and I've sort of been here with you listening to what's been going on at the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting, and I want to continue listening to you at this particular point. So in a few minutes, we're going to actually open the phone lines, and we want you to comment about the proposed Pacifica bylaw changes or ideas that you have for the bylaws. I'm not going to question you or respond. I just want to hear your response, and then other listeners can respond to you if they choose to. So we'll do that in a few minutes, and I'll give you the phone number now. But I do want to make some announcements first, and then I'll give you the phone number, and then we'll open the lines for the rest of the time that the break will happen. I want to thank, on behalf of Stan Woods and Chandra Hauptman, the Interim Pacifica National Board Planning Committee for making this meeting possible. And I also wanted to get the thanks in now in case you don't hear the thanks later toward the end of the meeting. The Interim Pacifica National Board Planning Committee wanted to thank Jim Bennett. So I did want to mention that. I'm not thanking myself. And then also Pete Bramson of the Pacifica National Board for participating in the planning of this meeting at Wheeler Auditorium on the UC Berkeley campus. The planning committee also wants to thank Susan DeSilva, Gail Blasey, Kurt Gray, Mariah Glarden, Robin Candice, Yulia Salovieva, I believe, Deborah Gomez, Matt Martin, KPFA producer, the staff from Wheeler Auditorium, and all the many people that have helped this weekend at Wheeler and at KPFA. Those people at KPFA include the board ops on the various different shifts throughout the weekend, people like Mr. Chooch, Kathy Russell, Mary Bishop, Sonia Wall, and then today Ken Pruitt, and now Christopher Martinez. So we did want to mention that. We also want to mention that coming up on KPFA and perhaps some of the other stations that are carrying this, after the conclusion of the board meeting at 3 o'clock West Coast time or 6 o'clock East Coast time, there's a program called Pacifica Next Generation, a listener-produced roundtable and response. The questions to be asked are, where are we and where do we go from here? You can join Don Foster and Fernando Velasquez and other listener activists exploring and discussing the past, present, and future of Pacifica Radio from a variety of national points of view, including your listener call-ins from 3 to 5 today following the conclusion of the national board meeting. And so we want to urge you to stay tuned for that. I'm just going to, at this particular point, just pause for a second and listen to a little bit of music, not that much, until we are assured that the lines are going. The number to call, and I apologize that it's not toll-free if you're calling long distance, 510-848-4425. So just a little bit of music. I'll contact the station and make sure that we're getting some calls. And then we'll just open the lines for your comments pertaining to the Pacifica bylaws and any ideas that you have or any statements that you'd like to make or any questions that you'd like to ask of other listeners. So we'll do this, and I hope you appreciate it, and we'll be right back after this. And it's great to hear that the lines are ringing off the hook there at KPFA. So we do want to open the lines, and we'll go to our first caller, whoever you might be. And we really appreciate the fact that you're calling in and listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting. Who are you, and where are you calling from, and whatever you want to say.
Yeah, it's Greg in Palo Alto.
Hey, Greg.
A couple of things. I really want to express my appreciation for the coverage. I think this is great. I think there should be more of it. And I think this is... a real positive step. I'm hoping that KPFA will act promptly to implement the board's decision to have at least 2 hours of programming devoted to the bylaws and governance issues. And I guess lastly, my concern about governance is this. I hope that there will be a board that will have more than advisory capacity with regard to governance at the station. That ultimately, at the local level, throughout the network, there will be governing boards that will have actual governance over the station, and it won't just be an advisory capacity. And I support what I heard Max Blanchet saying on the radio the other day, which I think is consistent with what I heard from other people also about this governance issue. Thanks.
Okay, let's go on to our next call. Just say what your name is and where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Oakland. This is Jane Jackson. I'm a member of the KPFA Bylaws Committee. I've been present for all of the this week's discussion, and I would like to align myself with those in both camps who are requesting an extension of the judge, either on the basis of good, strong, and democratically refined bylaws and or the same language for elections. And so I would just like to publicly align myself with those who are would like to seek an extension now from the judge. I understand the chair's position. I respect that position. She has the ultimate call, perhaps, but I would like to be on record as standing with those who want an extension and would like to have the support of the board to do that now. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane, for your call. And we'll go to our next person. Who are you and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Berkeley, and I want to thank you, Jim, for doing a very, very good job. This is an excellent program. I think Leslie has done a marvelous job with great patience and great perseverance and a great sense of humor in keeping this thing under control. It's excellent. I think that the station should have the greatest amount of control, not the major board in Washington. Between KPFA and KPFI, you've got a great signal area and a great number of people that justifies the board being moved, the main board being moved to the West Coast, and I think that's where it belongs because this is where the inspiration is. And I'd hate to see my name included on any Rolodex with the FBI or the CIA would have it over here. So, again, I think the idea of a two-hour program is going to be well-received. I missed certain programs today, but I do think that we can't depend totally on Amy Goodman's program. We have a lot of talent out here that we can put together. And, keep it up. It's a great show.
Thank you for calling, and I will just briefly say that that does remind me that those of you who are listening in the various different signal areas, we do want to emphasize that we really appreciate the fact that many of the programmers that you normally hear throughout the weekend were willing to give up their time this weekend so that we could bring you this Pacifica National Board meeting. So now let's move to our next call. I do hope that we'll get some calls from perhaps both the New York and Los Angeles area as well. So let's take our next call. Who are you and where are you calling from?
My name is Phil. I'm calling from Santa Ana.
Great.
I've really enjoyed the coverage you've given. It was somewhat unexpected. I only get to listen on the weekends, and so I was expecting to hear a couple of other programs, but what you're doing is marvelous. I had a couple of comments. One was that having been associated with Pacifica as a listener and occasionally as a subscriber, when I wasn't turned off by some of the programs that I considered racist or sexist that were being promoted, unfortunately, I have been at the station a long time, and I've seen this kind of conflict recycle, as has been discussed. And the last big cycle of it, during the Claire Spark takeover locally, or of Pacifica nationally by a particular faction, resulted almost in the destruction of the station, and a lot of us listeners responded. I came up with a set of 10 proposals that were, in fact, fairly close to what is being discussed right now, but being merely a listener, they were pretty much ignored. One of the proposals, however, that I would like to bring up that wasn't discussed so far is the fact that although Pacifica has been very good at airing different groups, minority groups, people who don't normally get a chance to speak, get their chance to speak often on Pacifica, it has not been very good at coming up with methods of resolving these issues in terms of having programming that is specifically aimed at bringing the parties to the table, the people of the opposing groups, deliberately bringing in the people that you disagree with the people that are trying to advance an agenda to promote the rights of their own group, and putting them together and saying, how can we resolve this? Or can we resolve this? Is this something that we have to look at as an unresolvable issue that will have to be handled through the political process, through power, you know, the imposition, through affirmative action or whatever? Or is it something that we can resolve otherwise? What are the solutions? You can't just listen to one side at a time and ever get there. And yet this is what Pacifica has consistently done. And this has been one of my main disagreements with the station. Apart from any political particular disagreements that I have with them, the methodology of simply allowing people of radical viewpoints to present their case without ever bringing it to resolution or making any attempt leaves the situation where it was, or even further, creates further divisiveness which is exactly the opposite of what Cisco Charter is supposed to be promoting. Anyway, that's my main point. And I guess the only other one would be that I really like what you're doing. I hope that this initiative to bring the listeners in general into more participation, more volunteering, et cetera, goes forward. And I thank you for all your efforts.
And thank you for being a listener and supporter. So let's go on to our next call. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Edmundo. I'm calling from Oakland. Again, I want to say thanks for doing this. I think it is important that part of the mission of the Pacifica be to educate, to give us the opportunity to become informed and become educated about the whole process. Having said that, I also think that one hit is important, that was what was mentioned earlier on in the program, that and what the previous caller actually touched on, that it is important to develop a process for the inclusion of diverse voices, diverse perspectives, and hopefully, as the previous caller mentioned, that it involves a process that is about finding a common vision and finding a way of developing conocimiento and understanding of where we're coming from different perspectives, from a very basic human relationships perspective, because it's human relationships are the foundations of any kind of movement, and there needs to be a basic understanding of where we're coming from, what our vision is, what our hopes are, what our dreams are, what our ideology is, in order to work together. Otherwise, we end up repeating the same old in different guise and with different content, but basically a divisive kind of a process that doesn't really help us move forward. So I hope that will be part of what the process is, and that it be given the time, the resources necessary to do that. So again, thanks for the programming.
We're glad that you're participating. And before we move on to our next call, I'll just remind you that we are bringing you here on Pacifica coverage of the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting at Wheeler Auditorium on the UC Berkeley campus. And I believe KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and the WBAI in New York are all carrying this, as well as it being webcast on radioforhouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center from Washington, D.C. have all been webcasting, I should say, this particular weekend. And we are in recess here, and we'll continue with our listener call-ins. We are attempting to give you some chance to respond to the board and some of the community comment about the Pacifica bylaws. And, of course, I'm not going to limit you to anything that you want to say, but I do want to urge you to engage in a dialogue with one another and certainly let us know what your opinion is about the bylaws and the proposals or ideas that you might have for them or things of and issues of concerns related to them. So let's go on to our next call. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Werner. I'm calling from Oakland. And I want to thank you, Jim, for your wonderful coverage of the the meeting at Wheeler. And I want to say where I'm coming from overall is that I have a dream of having all of Pacifica programming deal with the issue of another world is possible and envisioning a replacement for the corporate dominated world we live in now. But I want to say something about the 2 hours. I'm very pleased that that was passed by the board. And I would like that those 2 hours to be used as an educational forum to educate more and more listeners about the importance of democratic structure and how that is to be achieved. And I would like the folks in the other listening areas to judge their station by the relevance of the time that they choose to broadcast those 2 hours. Whether they're going to do it in prime time from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, or whether they're going to do it at 2 o'clock in the morning. So that will show how much respect they have for the listeners and for this process. And I'm very hopeful that that this process of 2 hours will continue. And I also hope that the news bureaus in the 5 station take it very seriously to cover this issue of our own governance as a very important story, and to spread, to make the, to encourage the listeners that this is a democratic process that's very real, unlike many of the so-called elections that we have in our political process that are bought and paid for by the corporation. So thanks again, and I think Pacifica is on to a wonderful, bright future. And we need to start going on the offensive and not continue only defending ourselves against corporate deprivations. We need to choose issues like a campaign against Clear Channel Communications that owns 12,000 stations. We need to challenge those folks and organize to have the attorney generals in four of the states start lawsuits against Clear Channel, and as a penalty to turn 1,000 or more of those stations over to community radio stations that will be in tune with Pacifica. So thanks again, and power of the people. Hello?
All right, Warner. Thanks again for your call. And let me be a good radio host for a second and remind you of the telephone number, which I haven't done in a long time, and I apologize to those listeners in the signal areas outside of Northern California, because I have forgotten that you don't know the number by heart, so let me give it to you and also apologize to you that it's not toll-free. The number to call is 510-848-4425. Again, 510-848-4425, and I'll ask you to write it down one more time. I'll mention it, 510-848-4425, but I'll try to mention it more often as we continue this recess. I'm not sure when it will be over, but it will probably be over in the next 5 to 10 minutes. Let's go on to our next call. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Howard. I'm calling from Redwood City. I think this is absolutely fantastic. I've been listening almost nonstop for the last several days, and I just think it's tremendous that this is on the air and listeners are able to get educated. I've learned so much, and thank you. And especially thank you to all the volunteers who have, you know, taken their time to do this. I have just one, just in the issue of brevity, I have just one suggestion. I think that we ought to have a fund drive coming up, you know, as quickly as they can put it together to get, just retire the debt. I listened to the whole budget issue yesterday, and I think the quicker that we put that whole debt issue behind us, if everybody will just dig in one more time and just get rid of that debt, and then we can move on. But thank you very much for everything.
And thank you. Let's go on to our next call. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Autumn from Monterey.
Hey, Autumn.
I echo everybody else. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Two things. The same way that we use the pledge drive, and we've learned with pledge drives, that if you keep asking, more people come, we can use that drive motion to get people involved. And also I echo what people say about the education process. How would we know what democracy is? None of us have ever experienced it. So I'm so excited about the 2-hour weekly thing. And also I just want to make a pitch. I never even thought about the affiliates. And when that woman spoke earlier, Randy Zimmerman, and articulated their plight, I wish that doesn't get lost in the shuffle of all the myriad of things that everybody has to consider. So I want to raise the flag for whatever the affiliate issues are. I don't even know what they are. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for your call. And again, if you do want to make comments about the bylaws changes, it looks like we'll have maybe a chance for just a couple of more calls. So let's try to squeeze them in. Hi, what's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Crystal. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Great.
Okay, I've got some responses, mostly to yesterday's content.
Go for it.
And let's see, some of that's financing. As far as fundraisers, I'm thinking it'd be nice if you could restrict yourself to premiums that are volunteered by sponsors instead of paying for anything, and that what you could be selling is a public station with a lot of transparency, And that kind of transparency can be created by having side website content where all of your email and live chat discussions during programming content are occurring. Financing, I noticed you're wondering about how to pay for the national office and the archives, and I was thinking kind of like one can take a house and divide it up, both half the rent by rooms and half the rent by how many people are there. That same thing can be done separating the content costs distributed by station and the administration budget divided by personnel counts across the stations. As far as getting the budget passed on time, I was thinking if it's done by unit and by consolidation, you could make a move to get the approval by unit done on time and, you know, just leave any units that don't have the budget done straggling for catch up. Let's see. Oh, another financing thing, since it sounds like paychecks aren't made all the time. I know you're having difficulty with accounting systems already, but one possibility would be to keep a credit account going for everyone on payroll and offer all the staff an option of one, having a minimum paycheck amount that they would drop to and have everything else go at, say, 14% or so.
Personnel.
So, you know, and for that matter, you can even have two accounts. One, the didn't quite make all of the paycheck this time account, and another, perhaps a different interest rate for the, and we might as well pay back the outstanding debt portion. Just in general, there was somebody wanted to see their investigative files, and I think they have all that right. I think the station should choose whether they're doing outreach and outreach and training positions. And overall, I'm thinking, you know, keep costs down and make the station as transparent to the public as possible. That's it.
All right. Thank you for your many comments there. And let's see if we can get one more call in, because we're still waiting for board members to get back up to the table. Hi, what's your name and where you're calling from? Make your comment pretty quick, though.
Yes, I will. My name is Suki. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Great. Good to hear from you.
As close in proximity to New York City and WBAI in locale that I am, I've never felt so far away at times, especially during the last 2 years. I guess basically what it boils down to for me is fascinating as I find the airing of the board meetings and the local LAB in this area, in the tri-state New Jersey, Connecticut area. I think that we all need, in the Pacifica network, all the subscribers and potential subscribers need to hear, I think, a sort of truth and reconciliation committee, for lack of a better term. So much has happened that we don't know. I don't know how detailed people want to get in behind the scenes of each station, but I think somebody needs to come up eventually with a report that can be given how this happened in the first place. And while legislation is like sausage, nobody should be seen, you know, having to seem being made or, in this case, heard, I think it is healthy. And I think in order to get more people probably on board is to tell people, look, this is how it happened, why it happened, and now this is why we're working so hard to keep it from ever happening again. We need to have all as much detail as we can as to what happened in all the stations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I think that's the last call that we're going to be able to take right now, and I really appreciate being able to get in a few at this particular point. Also, we want to remind you that coming up on KPFA and maybe some of the other stations will be a wrap-up show after the actually produced by listeners. And that will be at the conclusion of the board meeting on KPFA, at least, for 2 hours, or perhaps a little bit longer, depending on when the board meeting actually wraps up. But let's go back to Leslie Kagan, the chair of the board, who is currently speaking. And thank you for your time, and keep listening.
Yeah. Can we just... folks, if you could just sit down. Listen, folks, I share the frustration to the degree that I can. Obviously, I'm up here, you're down there, you're more frustrated if you were on the list and you didn't get to speak.
She's talking about the fact that there were a number of people signed up for comments that they haven't been able to get to.
Right, and there's a tremendous amount of work that we have to do on this board. And we try to open up as much time for those of you who are here to share your ideas, raise your questions, make your demands, you know, articulate your concerns. But we ran out of time. I mean, and that's really, I don't know what else to say. That's what happened. Okay. There's a something that will be entered into the record. Actually, I'll just read it real quickly. So it's in the record. It is unfortunate that for the sake of expediency, the issue of Pacifica affiliates was rushed through without an opportunity for the several affiliates attending this meeting to speak to the issues. Once again, Pacifica chooses to, quote, lock out the affiliates in discussions of their relations with Pacifica in a continuation of what has been little more than a paternalistic and condescending manner. Without dealing with those issues beforehand, without addressing the affiliates first as to their concerns, any approach to the grassroots radio conference will be little more than a recruitment drive intended to add more stations into the same unfair relationship. That's a statement from Mark. Was it Mark who gave it to me? I'm not sure what station your affiliate.
KFCF in Fresno.
KFCF, okay.
Mark Hernandez, who is also on the KJK Local Advisory Board.
As chair of the meeting, when we had the affiliate discussion, I'm very, very sorry that I did not ask if there were any people from the affiliate stations here who wanted to comment, and I do apologize for that part of it. And I hope also that what we discussed earlier will speak to some of the concerns you raised about the process and the need to have discussions. Okay, now, let's move on. Before we move on, I want to just take 1 second to do some thank yous. Meetings like this don't just happen. We want to first, of course, thank Pete Bramson, who took the lead on the board point of view on a lot of the logistical work. We want to thank Pete, who's
thank
back
you.
Here.
Thank you, Pete.
Thank you.
And also Stan Woods and Chandra Hopman, who helped coordinate the team of volunteers. And in particular, we want to acknowledge Kurt Gray, Mariah Gallardin, Robin Candace, Julia Slovivia, I'm sorry if I'm massacring your name there, Deborah Gomez, Matt Martin, Susan Silva, Gail Blasey, who all volunteered and all helped on this work. We want to thank the vendors who were here yesterday who provided the food for us, the staff from the auditorium here, from Wheel Auditorium and Cal Performances, who really made a lot of this possible. And we want to thank the staff from KPFA, and particularly Jim Bennett, who really helped make it possible to make the webcast and broadcast happen. So we really want to very much thank all of those people. I also want to take this moment, though, to thank, again, Marty Derlin, who went through a process with us in terms of trying to figure out who we would hire as a permanent executive director. And I just want to make it clear, I don't know if she's listening now, wherever she is, but I hope this message gets to her in particular, but to everybody, that I think the full board really appreciated the contribution that she made to this process by being in it, and that this was really not an easy decision. And the fact that we selected one person was, we did not mean to send a message that we were diminishing the talent or giving any less credit to the other person. In fact, Marty enjoyed considerable support on this board, and we actually expressed that we wish we could hire two people, that she has tremendous skills and talent, and we want to make sure that it's understood that the selection process was not a done deal, it was not easy, And we were given a very, very difficult task by having two such qualified people. And so, again, we want to thank Marty for being in this process with us. And I think all of us look forward to figuring out an ongoing working relationship with Marty and the various constituencies that she speaks from and represents. So that's the thank you section of this meeting. Okay. Also, I want to thank all those listeners who are actually listening to this meeting. The next item on the agenda is a personnel committee. Unfortunately, David's on the phone. Let me just introduce us by saying the board went through a process related to personnel, selecting the permanent ED. But there are processes that go on every day, almost every day, throughout this network that have to do with hiring, that have to do with personnel issues, certainly at the national level, but also at each of the five stations. And it occurred to us that we need to take some responsibility in setting some guidelines and policies and approaches to how to deal with personnel issues. And David put forth a proposal that's in our packets for a personnel committee. David, do you want to summarize that or speak to that?
Yes. Thank you, Leslie. Yes, the proposal is in the board package. In the board package of tab 10. Amongst the other various proposals brought by the KPFK Local Advisory Board for a personnel committee, that there be formed a personnel committee consisting of at least one national board rep from each signal area, that the duties of the committee would be limited to assessing, reviewing, revising, and creating personnel policies. And under the terms of this, any proposed change in existing policy would have to come before the interim national board or the national board thereafter for approval by a majority of vote. Some of the things I thought we should look at as a personnel committee would be to, of course, compile detailed descriptions of the distribution of staff positions throughout the network, paid and unpaid, among the foundation. And with the cooperation and input of managers and staff to revise and, where needed, develop comprehensive job descriptions for each staff position, again, paid and unpaid, within Pacifica, so we have standards that we can look at. To develop a uniform system whereby staff positions are posted, advertised, hired, and evaluated, including systems of appeal and review, which clearly are lacking at this stage in many respects. The assessment and development of recommendations concerning labor relations between Pacifica and the unions representing its employees would also involve maintaining a current report on the status of union contracts. We also need to develop recommendations for creating and using local signal area personnel subcommittees to make use of that incredible human resource that we have in the bodies of the listeners. And then reviewing and evaluating the personnel policies that currently exist, to the extent I understand they are under revision, but there is a package that purport to be our current policies, and we need to really work those out. So that's what I see as, anyway, the primary focus of the personnel committee.
Okay, so the proposal is that we establish a committee that would address these issues and do that work. Is there a second on this?
Second.
James. Okay, is there a discussion? Jabari and then Carol.
Is this proposal going to be acted on immediately after its ratification, if so ratified, in the sense that there will be budgeting allocations and a direction to the ED or whoever has to facilitate creating this thing? Basically, when does this committee go into operation?
Well, operation, it would be my intent that such a committee, since I'm the only member from Los Angeles, of course, I would be on it, We need to move immediately on this. And I think that we need to start having subcommittee meetings, or committee meetings, I should say, and we need to start working on, with the local advisory boards and listeners in the area, to develop supportive subcommittees on it. So I would say immediately, you know, but then we are facing a myriad of tasks, that all of which are demanding our immediate attention. And I think that, you know, some of the initial issues relating to developing hiring methodology, since we've got so much of that going on around here, even though we don't have the money for it, we need to at least make sure that those hires we do are done soundly, and we need to figure out how to incorporate the resources we have in terms of our listeners to make use of it. And so I would say that, you know, the committee would need to meet immediately, hopefully within the next week or two, by telephone, to start prioritizing that which we could do. I do not see budget allocations being necessary for the committee insofar as we would be doing this to help support the staff, not to make further demands upon them.
I would propose a friendly amendment that the committee be formed with at least one IPNP representative from each signal area and one local board member, if that would be acceptable to you. KPFA already has a personnel lab, has a personnel committee that's begun this work, and it would be great to have it formalized.
I'd love some more help. Yeah, that's great.
And I think that would make it a lot easier for the PNB members.
It's accepted.
Okay. Other comments or questions? If not, we can maybe move to a vote. You're saying yes?
I have one quickie.
One quick question.
Pete from Berkeley. Would Joyce be, in your estimation, part of this group?
Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you pointed that out. We would need for Joyce to work with us on this. I would hope, again, that we could act in a function of supporting her instead of making more demands upon her. And so, but yes, I think Joyce would have to be involved
just
in the committee.
Just so everyone knows, Joyce is that you're referring to as
Joyce Snowden, our extraordinarily hardworking human resources department.
Dave, I missed it. Maybe you said this. Does there have to be representation from every signal area on the board?
Yes.
Looks like you, Ray.
Okay, we can figure that out later. Okay, if there's no further, Ray.
If we have participation from the national level, shouldn't it be stated here? It says, talks about managers and staff.
Carol, can you read the, did you write it down?
There should be formed a Pacifica Personnel Committee consisting of at least one IPNB representative and one lab member from each signal area. Is that what you wanted me to read?
Yeah.
The duties of this committee shall be limited to assessing, reviewing, revising, and creating personnel policies. Any proposed change in any existing policy must come before the Pacifica Interim National Board for approval by majority vote before it would be adopted.
Okay, so this is not a hiring committee.
Right.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a policy committee. Right, to set up guidelines and to review whatever personnel practices or policies we have and to, you know, set up new ones where needed
George? Yes. Is this for each station or is this for the national? What is this for?
It's a national committee, I believe, designed to look at the whole package, to look at national personnel policies and the station personnel policies and to get a handle on what's going on throughout the network. Right? Is that right?
Yeah, she said.
Yeah. Okay, Ray, was your question answered?
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether the detail that was spelled out here would have been included in the official language. I'm sorry, I wasn't sure that the detail from 1 to 6 would have been included in the resolution itself, the proposal
did not include those particular spelled out,
okay,
you know, language. I'm assuming, though, that these questions and ideas would be referred to the committee. The committee there might be a seventh point or an eighth point that the committee needs to look at. So
that's why it says among the tasks to be performed. And indeed, it is intended for the whole Pacifica Foundation, which, of course, includes the signal areas and the archives.
Right. Okay, so if there are no further questions or comments, can we do another show of hands? All those in favor of this proposal, please raise your hand. And it looks like it's unanimous.
Yep.
Right? Yay. Well, we have one as a supporter of this.
Okay,
great. Thank you. Let's move along. Actually, before we did this, I forgot. I just misread my own notes here. We need to clarify some issues related to the budget process, just so we're all leaving here clearly. Now, what are those issues?
If I can make sure that it's clear, yesterday when Janice suggested we create these line items, positions, that, you know, we're in economic deep doo-doo, y'all. And we don't have the money for those right now. I think it was clear, my aspiration was that that's our goal, and when we have the money, let's do it. But let's not cut one position to create that position, because we're already down to the minimum.
Madam Chair.
Okay, so who's next?
Madam Chair, I was under the impression, and at one point somebody said, well, we'll make it a line item, but it doesn't have to be filled with an amount, that if that task is handled by another person already, then we were not going to, this was not saying we were going to hire a new outreach person if we didn't have the money, or if we were a smaller station and we had one person doing all three of those tasks or whatever.
It was my understanding, Leslie, that the language said that it would encompass our vision that we would have those two lines at some point, but it was not an unfunded mandate on the managers at this point. Yes. Now, I think that's what that budget, those two line items, meant.
Well, actually, there were four items, as I recall. Right, there's the folio, the cost related to the elections for the local boards, the outreach coordinator position, and the training position. My understanding of this, and maybe I'm the only one who has it, is that what we did by passing those was saying that we believe our station should have all these things.
That's correct.
Right? And the budget process that's about to unfold, that preparation of the budget for the next fiscal year at each of the stations on the national level, et cetera, that those items need to be discussed and looked at, and that we believe they should be included. Now, how they get included, and whether or not, as Teresa says, there's somebody on staff already who can do that job, whether or not a volunteer can jump in and do it, whether or not it means creating a new position, whether it might mean at some station that there's a decision, in fact, to cut some other position in order to fund this position.
Or look for funds someplace else, grants
or whatever. That's what we've done, is that we wanted these four items included in that budget process, because we believe the stations would be stronger and better if all those items are happening. If there's a folio, if there's outreach, if there's training, and the election, the funds are there for the election process.
But with the caveat that there may not be, we may not have the money for it. We may not be able to find the money for a training person, for example. Right?
Right. Yeah, we understand that. Right.
We're not disagreeing with you, Julie.
Okay, let's make sure.
Okay.
My concern is that Dwayne, he says all of a sudden you doubled my budget, and I don't have the money for that.
Right.
Doubled my expenses. And
right,
I want to make sure that's very clear to our staff that we're not saying, okay, you've got to spend this, you've got to spend the money for these things.
Right.
You find it, Grace, can't.
I think that's clear, right? I think that's clear.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, Carol had something here.
There was another item from the budget yesterday. I suggested that we not adopt or approve a budget for this year, and then we decided we would, I believe, try in September to adopt and approve a three-month thing, final quarter. And it was pointed out to us and to me that as a board of directors, we're actually responsible for approving every expenditure during our tenure. What happened before us, we don't have to approve. But so that means basically from January 1st through September 30th, we have a responsibility, I believe, to ratify after the fact the expenses and income and say, we approve of this. This was done, we approve, it was done okay. And so because the budgeting process has been so difficult, nothing has been presented to us thus far that represents how the money has been spent accurately. I think we have to send it back to Yasmin and the station managers and ask them to correct it so that the figures represent actual on-the-ground expenses. Some of them may. There may be some budgets that are quite accurate, but there are others that are very inaccurate as to what actually happened. And since we're approving